Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and leadership. It's Emerald Greenforest, and I'm back again with another special guest. From poverty to millionaire in less than 3 years, Ian Gray was retired before he turned 30, and how he did it may shock you. Now Ian uses his gift to help others usher in heaven on earth. Here's what he says about himself. I am an usher, one who helps others bring forth heaven on earth. I raise the vibe so that all can experience the phenomenon known as heaven on earth. Welcome to paradise, my friend. Ian aids in doing this with clear practices that he's employed to bring about his own experience of paradise. As the founder and creator of Evolved Life, a purpose-driven leadership activation, which raises the collective consciousness of all who participate, Evolved Life is an exclusive way of being that brings forth the desires of the heart. Evolved Life is designed to help high achievers, entrepreneurs, and leaders to effortlessly create wealth while making a larger impact on the world. So I met Ian at the New Media Summit, and as soon as he walked in, I was like, bing, that is somebody who I know I am meant to be connecting with. And we had a fabulous time over the course of 3 days. And so now we get the opportunity to dive deep with one another during this Men on Purpose podcast interview. So thank you so much for being here, Ian. Bing, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on. And everybody listening, you're going to want to hear this whole one through. We just have had so much magic even on the pre-show here. A lot of good stuff coming today and excited to be on here. Thank you so much, Emerald. I had the same experience. I kept opening the book and it would actually open to your name, like constantly your page in the book at New Media Summit. I was like, wait, why is this happening so much?
Yay. Well, paradise for me is when everything is working in synchronicity. So I'd love to have you talk, Ian, first of all, about your backstory. And then I want to hear about the calling that you experienced that caused you to suddenly activate yourself and pop into millionaire zone and begin to be able to create your heaven on earth.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. I'll do a brief, like where it kind of initiated out for me, and then I'll move into where the money really got made. I grew up in a family that was pretty broke all the time. At least I was always told anytime I asked for something, we don't have money for that. I felt like we were living in like the poorest family on the planet. I didn't even know how there was a roof over our head. And one day I was asking my father for a motocross. That's what I always wanted to do, is race motorcycles. And instead of saying, no, we don't have money for that, he said to me, you can have one when you can pay for one. And a light bulb went on in my head. And I just started doing whatever I could to make money and save money. So I was picking up dog poop, shoveling snow, raking leaves, mowing grass, whatever I could do, just saving my money. And that was when I was 8 years old that this happened. And at 11, I actually came home with the motorcycle. And he was just like, what were you thinking? He completely forgot about the whole entire conversation. So that was like where that spark came on that, wait a second, when I start taking responsibility for my own life, then things start to change. Like I actually can be the master of my own destiny. So that first time hit me when I was young. And I took that forth through high school, graduated high school early. I was racing motorcycles. I got my pro license. I took that attitude so I could actually move through all the ranks, get there. I got to college, graduated early in college, barely even attended class. I was one of those people that everybody was like hated because it was just like, it seemed like everything was easy for me. And it was because I didn't keep putting roadblocks in my life. I didn't even understand what anxiety and fear and all that stuff were for a long time in my life. And I got out of college and I got into a sales job, moved in with home with my parents. And at 21 years old, I was working on my master's degree at night and I'm making $14,000 a month in sales. And it was pretty glorious because I'm no expenses, like super young, making more money than both my parents combined at the time. at the end of a year, I just was finishing up my master's and realized I wasn't enjoying the job I was in. Like, there was no purpose behind it. And I had always desired to travel. So with the money I had saved, I sold everything that I had and I up and left and went to Europe. I ended up living in Europe for about 3 years. And towards the end of that time, I was living with a Swedish girl in Malmo in the south of Sweden, doing sales in Swedish. I'd gotten my visa, but money started running out. It started to affect my self-worth because I was always able to create the reality that I intended to. And for some reason, I just kept hitting walls anywhere I went. Got so bad that I was actually on what's called bostadsbidrag, which is basically Swedish for like welfare or supplemental housing, something like that, I guess it would be called here. So I wasn't even able to pay my own rent. And with that, the argument started to come and I started to feel helpless and I suffered into like a deep, deep depression and felt worthless. And I started alienating everybody around me. I became a really ugly person and was really nasty and felt helpless. The more I felt helpless, the more I alienated everybody around me and perpetuated my own situation. So I was a master manifester, regardless whether I was creating success or like massive failure or happiness or pain. I ended up going back home, moving back in with my parents, back into their basement. Now, a few years older, I should have been a few years wiser, but I had no idea that I was maybe wiser at this point because I had this new experience on the hero's journey of like the huge dip and crash and burn. So I was broke and heartbroken. And I started an online advertising business that actually started as in taxi advertising business, but I just kept rolling with the punches and eventually built out this enrollment management company with a business partner within 3 years, just over 3 years. We actually had sold it. The valuation of the business was 10 times as much as what I wrote down 3 years earlier was my goal to sell it for. Like, that would be my retirement goal. So it was an epic journey. We got to help a lot of people get into college that never would have gotten into college before. It was all enrollment management based and just really helping that first generation college student. Now, I know I just said a bunch of stuff, so I'm going to pause there and let you kind of pull anything yet you'd like.
Oh, I got a lot to pull. I'm excited. So the first thing I want to ask you about is, I love what you said about how you are really a master manifester and how it's important to be clear about what you want, because when you are a master manifester, you can manifest some pretty shitty experiences or you can manifest some pretty glorious experiences. So I do want to ask you what practices you use to get yourself out of the hole and into a state of clear understanding that, oh, I'm manifesting either way, right? I'm manifesting crap or I'm manifesting cash flow, one of the two, right? And to be able to make the choice. So I'd love to hear if you could talk a little bit about what you either did for yourself or what you might help people to do for themselves to get the level of clarity about what it is they actually want to manifest, and then kind of put the chalk in the door. When you open that door, you kind of have to put the chalk in the door to keep it open. Like, what's that? What's the chalk that you put in the door to keep it open so that you don't get sucked back down in the hole again?
At this point in time in the story, there's different stages of consciousness that I've been able to experience throughout my lifetime. So when I was back in my parents' basement feeling completely broke and worthless, I would say I was in the sleeping state of consciousness. I might as well have been comatose. Like, I was a little bit suicidal. Could have happened. Absolutely. Thoughts were rolling through the head. I was asking questions like, why is this happening to me? Or what is going on? Actually was really a question. Like, how did this happen was actually more the question. And then I started getting into like more of a victim state where it was like, I started blaming others for my experience. And then as I came out of that, I got into like survival mode and I moved through these really quickly. I actually got a job in between before I started my company doing sales to make some money and start rebuilding my self-worth and get into a state of consciousness that I call it the survival one. Got to work hard for the money. That's the kind of words I was using at the time. Then I actually started to create enough wealth when I started the business that I started moving into like more of, I'm going to change the world. The world's a crazy place and I'm going to change it. Like, that social justice have kind of awakened. And then I was able to get to a point of like what I call the flourishing zone, where things are like really happening. I'm thriving at this point and I'm making more money than I can even spend. I've got great people around me. And I thought that was the top. I thought that was the top of the mountain. And once I got to the top of it, I will get to that. I had another fall from grace. So I had another huge dip once I made all this money. Even though I retained the money, in my consciousness, I did fall back to sleep. I didn't have any way of documenting or any clear idea in the practices besides setting up these 10 principles that I used to actually create success in motocross racing. So one is like actually being very purposeful and having a reason behind what I'm doing. One is having the goals, having the right people around me, actually focusing and being obsessed. Those types of practices, which I actually have a book that I wrote about it and built a course around it that I've used to make sure that I don't fall asleep and I follow each one of these practices. And a lot of it revolves around introspection around each one of them. So it's not just information. Like here I can give up information and maybe some introspection will occur. What I ended up doing is building out courses on this later, because when I was actually creating this, nobody would help me. And finally one day I was like, when I figure this out, I'm going to deconstruct it and share it with the world. So that actually kind of became my way of now having that door holder of actually just documenting this stuff and knowing this is a religious practice. And anytime, at any given moment, I can fall asleep. I can fall right back to sleep. And it may only be for a moment. I mean, this still happens for a moment. And then I'm like, oh, wait, get back to where I'm at. So again, I said a bunch of stuff there. So rather than going too far on there, anything you want to dive into, we can.
So what I heard there was I heard you actually kind of enumerate a variety of different stages and how at each stage you kind of moved through those stages. And I want to talk specifically about the hustling stage. Because especially for men on purpose, okay, the men who are listening around the world, the men who are coming in to be my guests, the men who I am hearing the call myself to be serving, there's so much in especially Western culture about gotta get out there, gotta hustle, gotta, you know, and essentially the way I see it is, not only is it survival thinking, right, which is a lower level of consciousness, but it's also ultimately ending up in sort of almost a kind of suicidal type of mode, because ultimately, if you keep that level of consciousness and grinding going on, it begins to deteriorate the physical health. And, you know, men die of heart attacks and suicide exponentially higher at exponentially younger ages than they ever did before. So I'd love to have you, if you could, just like pivot right into that point and see if there's something that we can offer to our listeners before we go to our break that will jumpstart them, activate them out of that mindset, if that's possible. And if it's just information, that's great too. I feel like anything that we can offer to them today is going to be awesome.
This is kind of like almost a parking zone where people sit. I sat for a while too in this survival spot where the only way I could get farther ahead was by doing more. And I was doing so much, I didn't know what was actually the impactful thing versus the non-impactful thing. And I was scared to stop doing anything because I was getting some results. And then sometimes I wouldn't get results and I didn't know exactly what was going on. The biggest thing that I was lacking actually in this mode was actual presence. I was living so much in the dream of the future that I wasn't pulling myself back into the now and realizing that that is where I manifest. Business became busyness. I mean, that word is spelt the way that it's spelt for a reason, I'm thinking anyway. So actually getting back into the presence aspect and being now, like in the moment, was a big relief for me and getting into that next stage. So at the time, I started racing motocross again. And motocross was my form of meditation at that time. I would get into that flow state that we hear so much about. So that would bring me into presence, because if I'm thinking about work while I'm going 60 miles an hour through a whoop section or going over a triple jump and I'm thinking about something else and hit a kicker, I mean, I end up in the hospital. It's happened several times. Every single time I crash, it's because I thought about something not in my presence. When I'm in my presence, no crash. So that was my outlet at the time, was having that activity that got me seriously into flow state. Going to the gym, I would get into a little taste of that flow state as well. Now I definitely do a lot more meditation, spending time in nature and actually syncing up with nature. Like, I spend time in nature and I might bring my phone for photos. And the rest of the time it's on quiet. A lot of times I'll even leave it just so I have that awareness around me. And it makes a huge, huge difference. Another exercise is one that my wife actually teaches. So she actually teaches it for women, but I think it's very relevant for men as well. It's just asking the question, where are my hands? And that's looking at my hands and looking at the palm of my hands. And there's actually eyes in the hands. There's actually like spiritual eyes in the hands. So now I'm actually looking back at myself. And that brings me back into the moment. So that was one key component. It stopped me from all the busyness. And it started to help me to realize what things were being impactful and what things were actually wasting my time.
Mm, beautiful. I am stoked about the hands thing. That was awesome. So simple and so powerful. Ian, you are a rock star. We are going to have to take a short break, but when we come back, we are going to talk to Ian more about how he is now serving people and let people know how they can find out more about him. So thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in the Philippines. Yay! Hi, Philippines. So happy to have you. We will be right back with Ian Gray.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with our special guest, Ian Gray from Evolved Life. You can find out more about Ian and what he's got going on at evolvedlife.com/MOP. And I want to spell this for you because life is spelt with a Y, not an I. So that's Evolved, E-V-O-L-V-E-D, life, LYFE.com/MOP. You will find a lot of information at that link, including the broadcast of this interview once we are complete with it. So, Ian, welcome back, and thank you for bringing the look at your hands thing. That was so awesome. Let's talk about what happened. Like, you retired before you were 30. You have what I would like to say is maybe more money than God. Like, when I think of really super wealthy people, it's like, oh my God, they have more money than God, right? You have a ton of money. You live in a spa. Like, you don't have to work, but you're choosing to. So I feel like choosing is something that is a mark of a man on purpose. So I'd love to have you talk about what inspires you now that you have all the money you could possibly hope to want to choose to continue to engage and, I'm going to put it in quotes, work. But in your case, it probably isn't so much work. It's probably more just devotion, right? What makes you choose to continue to want to make a contribution and want to give back? And talk about the contribution you're making now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. What happened was once I sold the business and I wasn't even 30 years old and I was single and I was living back and forth between New York City and a gorgeous apartment condo that I had that like the elevator opened into my building and then I had a penthouse in Miami and now I was like, oh, what do I do now? I've arrived. I retire and I celebrate and I celebrated a lot. I celebrated a real lot. Anybody that's ever been to South Beach or in New York City, just imagine that you have a budget of, say, $60,000 a month that would be your passive income off of a note that you have, not including any of the nest egg or any of the salary that you're getting or any of the stock investments. And how would that be? That's kind of where I was living in that time. I couldn't spend that much money being a single guy at that point in time. Had a great, great time. And then all of a sudden I hit like a wall and realized I'm not creating anything and I'm not doing anything. And I'm actually, my heart was telling me that I'm here to create something and something much larger than myself. And I couldn't really remember what that was. And I had no idea at the time. So I got back into motocross because it gave me that focus. Started traveling around the country in an RV, going to different motocross tracks, hitting national parks. I created a community for motocrossers, ended up buying a motocross track, moving to go live in my RV on a motocross track in the middle of Floresville, Texas, middle of nowhere. Great experience. But at the same time, it took me away from a lot of the things that were bringing me joy and a lot of the distractions. And it really brought me into a deep depression, which was probably one of the best experiences of my life in hindsight, because it gave me this opportunity to really recoup and reconnect with who I was being. And during that time there, I ended up resurrecting the San Antonio Raceway, which is the drag strip in San Antonio, and be able to do a lot to bring things for community. And it taught me how to like interact with so many different types of individuals and what their struggles were. And I'm very empathic. So at the time, I didn't know how to use that energy. I would be exhausted at the end of every single day of interacting with all these individuals. I'd be shaking maybe 1,000, 2,000 hands in a day. So that could be a little overwhelming. So I started remembering, I had forgotten about all these practices that I used to use. And so I started remembering them and studying them, and I started documenting them. It was coming up to my father's birthday, and I was going to get him a book. He had always given me books when I was a kid. He gave me Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh, some really great books that helped me to understand this power of the mind. What actually ended up happening was I started thinking to myself, like, actually, better off than giving him a book, maybe I should write him one. So I started writing him a book, which is the one that folded into the 10 principles that brought me millions. So that was a book started written for my father. And then I started thinking even more about this and like, well, what am I going to do for my legacy? And my wife and I have been talking about having kids. So I've created Evolve Life really as a way to share all of my core values, all of my practices that have brought me this heaven on earth, that I get every single thing that I intend, everything I choose. I put it down on paper. Like, I'm on planes and I'm scared I might have a thought that the plane is going to crash, because I think my powers of manifestation have gotten like that good, because I've been practicing and documenting some real, real woo-woo stuff that has real, real, real world results. I've documented it, so I give the information and I give practices so people can embody this, because once I be someone, then I start to do the right things and I start to have the right things, and then I'm able to give more. So I'll pause there for you.
Yeah, nice. I love what you said about how you actually have to be vigilant with your thoughts. The greater you exercise your manifestation powers and the more that you recognize how powerful you are as a creator, the more you're called really to be impeccable. I like the word impeccable with your thought forms. I also have that challenge. Like, I just got a car and I'm very excited about my car, and it has an almost entirely glass roof. And I thought to myself for a second, boy, if this car ever rolled over, that whole glass roof would be. And then I was like, oh no, we're not thinking that. Let me take that thought away. Let me erase that one quickly, because I know I'm a powerful manifester too. So we only have a couple minutes left, Ian. Unfortunately, these things go so quickly, and I could actually spend hours and hours and hours talking with you and going deep, and maybe we'll have you back on the show again sometime soon. One of the things that we do love to do is celebrate. And so now that you are in this new place, one of the things that I heard that you say was being depressed actually was one of the best things that happened for you. And I recently saw on, I think it was Twitter or Facebook, I'm not sure which, but there was a thing that Jim Carrey was doing, and he was talking about depression. And, you know, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding maybe sometimes about depression. And he used the words deep rest. Like, it's deep rest, and how important it is to have deep rest so that you can actually clarify and let go of what doesn't serve anymore and welcome in the what's next. So in the last minute or two that we have here, what is next for you, Ian? And what would you like to invite our listeners to do to help them get clear on what their next step is as well, to get an evolved life and bring heaven onto Mother Earth?
Being that we're sitting here in the last few minutes here and just coming off the emotions, maybe just think about what other emotions could actually be gifts. Anger is the gift to let me know one of my core values has been violated. So I'm only going to get angry when somebody's being lying to me, or they're out of integrity, or they aren't being loyal, or they're not being generous, or they're not being fun. These are some of my core values that I have. So that will trigger the anger in me. If I'm frustrated, it's actually giving me an invitation to pause what I'm doing right now and come back with a new plan. And that's the same thing for overwhelm. Or jealousy is actually an invitation for me to upgrade. So many emotions have been, this is a good emotion or bad emotion. Actually, they're like dashboard lights on the car. So as soon as I see that the check engine light's on, I'm going to check the engine, or the fuel light's on, I'm going to go get fuel. Now, there's also some other gauges that are really good at certain RPMs. I race cars and motorcycles, so I know at certain RPMs, that's where the power band is. So that's where I get my turbo. So that's actually like having fun in my life and having that joy experience. That's when I know that that's time to go full bore into things. I invite anybody to take a moment and see how their emotions may actually be showing up as gifts. And I have all kinds of practices around this. We talked a little about the words, and I can break it down in the words. So I invite you to check out evolvedlife.com/MOP. And if you use that link, and that's life with a Y, you'll actually get 28 days free where you can see these different practices that I use. And it's a very inexpensive subscription process. My whole thought process is getting this out to the world. I'm living in heaven and earth, and I'm inviting others to join me, no matter what their idea of heaven is.
Beautiful. Well, Ian Gray, it has been heavenly to have you on the show. Pure paradise. And perhaps we will have you come back again sometime soon. But for now, we are going to say goodbye. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.